This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. The clock is ticking on balloting for this November. It has been a long election season, just a little more than 2 weeks to go till November 3rd. And activity is picking up at local clerks' offices, with absentee ballots streaming in and preparations underway for in-person voting amid a pandemic and all kinds of political pressure. Tina Barton is city clerk for Rochester Hills. She also serves on a National Election Assistance Commission Board of Advisors, organized by the National League of Cities. We talked to her during primary season about the record number of absentee voters expected this year and what it might take to count them. She's back now for us with an update. Tina Barton, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today.
So I believe today's the last day to register to vote online, correct?
That is correct. So if somebody wants to register in any other way other than in person in their local clerk's office, today is their last day to do that. They can also register by mail, but it has to be postmarked today.
And that's valid until midnight tonight if folks are doing so online, correct?
Correct.
Will it be possible to register in person after today, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. Michigan now has same-day registration, so you can now register up to and on election day in the state of Michigan.
If someone came to you asking about mailing in their ballots in Rochester Hills, and if there was still time for it to reach your office, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that the best thing they can do is to deliver that ballot in person. So if they have the option of bringing it and putting it in one of our drop boxes or bringing that right into our office, that is the optimal way to return the ballot at this point. If that is not an option for them, we have dubbed today as Mail It Back Monday. This gives people 15 days for the ballot to get to us. So we're hoping that they will mail it back today. Mail it back Monday, giving them that 15 days, but they can go on michigan.gov/vote and they can track that and see when we actually receive on their ballot to make sure that we have it in our possession.
So Tina, we've spoken with you before about the vast increase in the number of people who are voting by mail this year. How many absentee ballots have made it to your office so far?
So far, we have issued about 29,000 absentee ballots, and we have received about 48% of those back. Now, it's Monday, and I worked here over the weekend, and I can tell you there were a lot of people putting their ballots in drop boxes. So I'm expecting that percentage by this time tomorrow to have increased substantially.
Based on that, and based on the current constraints that you're working under in terms of staffing and when you can start the count, how long do you think your folks will need to deliver election results this year?
I don't think that anyone should anticipate to have full election results. And again, those are unofficial results, obviously. Up until probably Wednesday morning sometime would be the earliest where they're going to see a complete return so that it wouldn't just be a partial reporting. So a lot of times when people look at the website for the county specifically, it will have a partial report or a full report. So if you see that it's only partially reported, that means that either just the precinct has reported or just the absentee has reported, but not both. So when they're looking at those numbers, they want to make sure that they're looking for fully reported numbers and not just partially reported numbers.
Clerks care about getting people results in a timely manner. How are you feeling about all this right now?
Well, there's obviously a pressure. People want to know, certainly, but I can tell you the greater pressure for me is that we do this accurately and that we do this with integrity and with security. And so those things are my focus. I get people's desire to want to know, but at the same time, what's more important to me are those strongholds of security and accuracy and integrity.
Do you foresee the timeline that you have at your office being consistent with a statewide count?
I wouldn't want to speak for the position that other clerks are in. Unfortunately, when Senate Bill 757 passed, I was disappointed to see that they had a population requirement in there of 25,000 or greater in order for a clerk to start pre-processing on Monday. And I think that that will hurt some of our smaller communities that are below that 25,000 threshold that will still have a tremendous increase in their absentee ballots to have to count them. but because they didn't meet that population threshold, they're not going to have the ability to start pre-processing on Monday, and that hurts them.
And just for folks who might not have followed all this, the bill that you referenced is the one that the legislature passed to allow some, but not all, of Michigan's clerks to begin preparing the ballots a little earlier than they usually would have, meaning to say verifying signatures and getting ballots out of the enclosure envelope so that they can be tabulated in a timely manner.
That's correct.
Late last week, Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson provided some guidance, reminding folks that guns will not be allowed at polling places. Are you concerned about anybody trying to challenge that?
Well, obviously, I think we all recognize we are in a unique political climate right now. My great concern is that my voters and my inspectors have a safe, secure place to vote and to work on election day. And so I believe that most clerks are working with their local law enforcement to have plans in place, to have direct phone numbers in place, to have additional law enforcement in the community, but not necessarily in the precincts, because we don't want anyone to feel intimidated and we don't want anyone to feel that their vote is being suppressed in any way. But at the same time, we also want people to feel safe and secure should we need to get law enforcement engaged at some point if there are any disturbances. But our hope and our prayer is that everyone will have a safe, secure place to vote on election day and to work.
Right. We had Secretary Benson at that news conference right alongside our state police director, Colonel Joe Gasper, who was making it clear his troopers would have an eye on anybody trying to interfere with the vote. Have you heard anything about how many people might be interested in observing the election count this year?
I have not heard as far as numbers of groups that would be doing that, and I anticipate it's going to happen. Obviously, we're all aware here in Michigan that the eyes of the country are on us once again for a presidential election cycle. That also means that people feel that the stakes are higher, right? For whatever their interest is or whatever their political group is that they represent. I think we all also understand there's good possibility that this election, the results of it could be litigated afterwards. And so I think that a lot of people are engaging in different groups and political activism to get out and to watch what's happening in the precincts and watch what's happening in the absentee counting boards.
How many observers can you accommodate?
Well, it depends. Each group can, assign to each precinct. So in the absentee counting board room, the same way they can assign, different workers to the absentee counting board room. So with multiple different groups can come in there.
So there's really not a static number.
Well, we have to keep in mind that we have to allow for social distancing in there, too. So we're already stretched for space and room, but they do have the right to be in the absentee counting board room. They do have the right to be in the precinct, but they do have to also keep the socially distanced space. And they also still have to wear masks or face shields while doing so.
Is there a cutoff for when you say, all right, this is the number of servers we can accommodate, and that's as many as we have space for?
No, I don't believe there's any cutoff that would say that. I mean, obviously, they have the legal right to be in there, so we have to find a way to accommodate them. It just might be more of a challenge due to COVID of how we safely do that.
Sure. You know, I bring all this up not to amp things any more than they already are. I mean, obviously, this is an election unlike what many of us have seen in our lifetime. I know that things are already full tilt in your office, but what are you doing to prepare yourself and your staff for what the next couple of weeks are going to bring?
So really, for us, it's about, obviously providing the best service that we can possibly provide, being as accurate as we can possibly be. We're working together as a team to tackle this together. And seeing something that we've never seen before, like you said, we're working extra hours. We have, obviously we had August. It was kind of a little bit of a practice session for us, if you will, when it came to how do you handle an election in a pandemic. So we kind of feel like we had that experience now that we can draw from and say, okay, this worked really well, and this is what we can do a little bit better. And so we are working towards all of those goals of looking at the reflection of August and how we can implement the good practices and better the ones that we can do for November.
What do you think people ought to know on the eve of this election?
I just really want people to know that they need to vote. This is one of the greatest privileges we have in our country, is to vote and to choose our leaders. You have the opportunity to do that now, to have your voice heard. The ballot box is the great equalizer. Every vote carries the same amount of weight to it. And so in every single vote counts. We want you to exercise that right in whatever way you are most comfortable with, whether that is at the precinct or whether that is voting absentee, whatever way it is you choose to vote, we are going to provide a safe, secure environment for you to do that. And your election officials are ready to service you.
Tina Barton is the city clerk for Rochester Hills. Tina, it's great to hear from you. I hope you and your staff are able to get through this.
Thank you.